2000 to 2010, Abuja was the fastest growing city on the planet. And its growth rate right now still sits at 35% per year. Can you imagine Belfast getting bigger by a third every year? That's what's happening in Abuja. It's a really busy place. And when they go back there, as you've already heard, Japheth is going back to take up his work again in speech and language therapy, and also to support Lindsay, who works for Mission Africa, as we know, and also for Advanced Christian Compassion Initiatives that she talked about, where she works with vulnerable women and children in Jahi, which is a shanty town. Now, I'm actually not sure if that is Jahi, but I looked on the internet for photographs, because there are a number of shanty towns in Abuja. Basically, people are moving into the city from the rural areas. They can't afford, have no money. They can't afford to live in proper houses, so they set up these shanty towns. They're a bit like townships that you hear about in South Africa, and thousands of people live here. And there's all these shanty towns are under condemnation by the government, who have said they're going to come in someday and knock them all down. So these people will lose even these terrible homes that they do live in. That's one of the areas, or something like that, is where Lindsay is going to work. Lindsay's mum and dad are Robert and Carol, and they're active members here, and I'm sure you've seen them about church from time to time. And they're going to follow Lindsay and Japheth out there in a couple of weeks' time so they can see. I mean, if my daughter was working in a place like that, I'd want to go and see what exactly it was like. So they're going out for a month or so to stay with them and then come back home again. So that basically means, as you've heard, when Lindsay and Japheth go back, they're going to be really busy because they're trying to settle a new baby into a new climate and all the rest of it. And they're trying to get back to work. They're trying to look after their family. When they get back to Nigeria, Japheth's family will be able to see Micah for the first time. They haven't had the chance to hold him yet or be with him. So that's going to be a huge amount of excitement, I would imagine. So all of that has to take place, and they've got to get back into some sort of routine. So I'm guessing for the next few months, you guys are going to be really busy. But what about us? What are we supposed to do? We'd just like to suggest a few simple things this morning that the experience of the Apostle Paul suggests are something that we should do. I'm going to look at some of the things Paul said that he would like the church to do for him as a Christian missionary working sometimes in his own country where he came from, but lots of the times in other parts of the world that were unfamiliar to him. What did he ask the church to do for him? Therefore, what could we do for Lindsay and Japheth? Well, here's the first thing Paul asked for. He asked them to remember him. See, one of the things is we forget so easily. We forget people so quickly. I'm always struck by the fact that we do a lot of funerals in this church. Mostly they're elderly people. And I'm often struck by the fact that those funerals can sometimes be really small. You know, and numerous times I've had conversations with people where I've said, well, I thought there might have been some more people here. And somebody will inevitably say to me about the deceased, you know, John, they've been out of circulation for a while. By which they mean they maybe moved out of their home into a residential accommodation, which wasn't in the same area, or they weren't at the activities of the church, or you never bumped into them in Tesco's or on the bus anymore. And so, out of sight, out of mind. You just forget. And if that's true of people who are only living within our area, how much more would it not be true of Lindsay and Japheth, who are living hundreds of miles away, and we're definitely never going to bump into them in Tesco's, at least not for a few years? Forgetting is something that we do to remind us of the salvation of the world. Our Lord and Savior had to leave us a meal and tell us to eat the meal regularly, or else we would forget that God, the only Son, became a man and died in our place. That's how forgetful we are. So remembering is important, and remembering is an apostolic thing to do. Paul says to the Philippians, chapter 1, verse 3, I thank my God every time I remember you. Paul just remembered that they existed. It was as simple as that. He was traveling around, planting new churches, getting involved in a busy daily routine. And he wanted to remember the fact that in Philippi, which is a place he once visited, there were brothers and sisters of his living there. He remembered that they were there. And Paul asks the church to do the same thing for him. In fact, at the end of his letter to the Colossians, he takes the pen from the secretary who is writing the letter. He is dictating it. The secretary is writing it. He takes the pen off the secretary and he writes these words for himself. Colossians 4 and 18, he says, I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains. Paul says, would you remember me and the situation I find myself in? Now, it wasn't too difficult for the Colossians and the Philippians to remember Paul, because many of them came to faith through Paul's ministry. They had heard Paul teach. They had been in Paul's company. But maybe you're sitting in church thinking, you're asking me to remember Lindsay and Japheth. I don't really know Lindsay and Japheth. Well, I mean, I've seen them about church once or twice, and I know who they are, but I don't really know them. Well, we plan to give you some help. We've asked Lindsay and Japheth, when they go back this time, to do us a video diary. In other words, once a month, just to get their iPhone out and do about 3 minutes of footage where maybe they'll show us where they live, show us where they go to church, show us where they work, tell us a little bit what they've been doing in the last month, just about 3 minutes. They're going to send it to us, and we're going to play it in church once a month. So that will give you an opportunity of knowing what they're doing and maybe getting to know them a little bit better. But there's a couple of other things that might help you to remember them. For one thing, Lindsay is 29 years old. I know you never tell a woman's age, but anyway, there you go. I've done it now. So Lindsay is 29. Some of you people sitting in church this morning have a daughter who's around about that age, 29 or 30 or there or thereabouts. Well, how would you feel if it was your 29 or 30-year-old daughter who was about to jet off to Africa and you wouldn't maybe see them very much for the next 3 years? How would you feel about that? Well, when you remember your daughter, why don't you think about Lindsay? She's the same age, and that would be a good way to do it. When you think about your daughter and her situation, think about Lindsay. Or some of you in church here today are 29 or thereabouts, or that's as big of an age as you're prepared to admit to. Well, whatever way you feel and think about life is probably pretty similar to how Lindsay thinks and feels about life. So when you think about situations and react to things, just remember the fact that in exactly the same way, only several hundred miles away, Lindsay thinks and feels just exactly the same. So think about Lindsay particularly, because that's the one you're going to maybe know more than Jaffa. Think about her as you think about those things. Or here's the second thing you could do. You could become Lindsay's friend on Facebook. I'm sure if you put her in a friend request, she wouldn't say no. And why would that be a good idea? Because Lindsay and Jaffa, they're both brilliant at putting up photographs and putting up posts about what they've been doing in a given week. And if you wanted to find out more about them and just get the feel of what life is like for them in Africa, why don't you ask Lindsay if you could be her friend on Facebook? And then you can keep up to date with her over the months that come. And that will help you to remember. That's the first thing. We just need to remember that they exist, that they are there in Abuja serving Jesus Christ, and we need to remember them. Second thing Paul says that we need to do is to pray. To pray. The point about prayer is this. Prayer is the thing that is easiest to say and hardest to do. You know what it's like? It's like you were delivering Christmas presents a few weeks ago, and you maybe to a member of your family circle or to a friend you know that you hadn't seen for a while, and you were dropping the Christmas presents off, and you said that thing. You said, why don't we do coffee sometime? Why don't we go out for a meal together sometime? Why don't you guys come round for supper some evening? You said that last Christmas, and you never met the whole 12 months, right? Because those things are, and the Christian equivalent of that is saying for somebody, oh yes, I'll pray for you. Because we say it, but actually we don't do it. So it's easy to talk about praying for people, but it's really difficult to actually do it. And you might be thinking to yourself anyway, well, maybe Lindsay and Jaffa don't need our prayers that much, really, do they? I mean, they're Christian missionaries, and they've got a big church, got a far bigger church out there in Africa than we have here. They don't really need my prayers. It wouldn't matter that much, would it? In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul is talking to some young believers in Ephesus, and he's saying to them, look, you need to protect yourselves because you live in a hostile environment. The world, the flesh, the devil are constant enemies of Christian faith and Christian life. And you need to protect yourself about those things. You remember what he did? He takes the armor of a Roman soldier, and then he uses the different parts of the armor to signify the kind of protection that we have in Jesus Christ. And he encourages people to use that protection. The last thing in his list of the armor of the Christian is what? It's prayer. He says you need to pray for yourselves. And it makes sense, doesn't it? That if you are a young Christian, there's all that hostile world out there and all the threats to your faith in Jesus Christ, you need to use every protection you can get. And prayer is one of those protections. And it makes sense that as a young Christian, you would do it. And then Paul goes on to say something you don't expect. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19, he says, pray also for me. Wow. Why did Paul need prayer? He was the great apostle. He was the one called and gifted by God. He was planting all these churches and advising and supporting and helping all these other people. Why did he need prayer? Well, what you have to remember is when Paul wrote these words in Ephesians chapter 6, he was probably in prison in Rome, which is not a very nice place to be. And we are aware that Japheth and Lindsay returned to challenging circumstances. They've already mentioned them. Nigeria is a country which is 52% Christian and 41% Muslim. And you won't be able to see this map in detail from where you sit, but if you look at the colors, the darkest colored areas on that map are the areas where the majority of the population is Muslim, and then as it gets lighter, then those are the areas where there are very few Muslims, okay? So you can see fairly easily from that map that most of the people who are Muslim live in the north and most of the people who are Christian live in the south. And Abuja, which is somewhere in the middle, is kind of in that area where Christian and Muslim mix. So you can understand how that generates its own tensions. And you will have heard about Boko Haram and the terrorist campaign that's been going on in areas fairly far from where Japheth and Lindsay are living and working. But if I show this other map, this is the current travel advice to Nigeria. Okay, so if you were thinking now about taking up Lindsay's offer a moment or two ago, or maybe, and so maybe you thought, well, going out to visit Lindsay, I'll just have a wee holiday in Nigeria when I'm there. This is the map that tells you where you should not go, okay? The pink top part at the top in the north, you should not go there, okay? Don't even think about it, all right? The kind of more creamy bit down at the bottom, that would be okay to go to. Then in the middle, there's this big band of kind of sandy-colored area with a Abuja slap in the middle of it. Do you know what it says on that one, if I can read it? It says, reconsider your need to travel. In other words, if you're going to go here, do you really need to go? Could you not go somewhere else? Would Spain not be a better idea? Basically is what that means. And that's where Lindsay and Japheth are living and working. Okay? So they face challenging circumstances because of the nature of life in that country. Okay, the church they attend, you've already heard about it. That's the entrance to it, that big crown thing along the street there with all those loads of people coming and going. That's where they go to church. This is what it looks like inside. And as they already told you, two services on a Sunday with 4,000 people in each service and then 4,000 other people meeting in four other centers throughout the city. It's a pretty big church. But when you consider you've got to go through an airport scanner to get into worship, I don't know if that means you can't bring in scissors or nail files or anything like that. I'm not sure. You've got to go through an airport scanner to come into worship, and there are police on duty in every service in the church building. Gives you an idea that this is a little bit different to our experience. Also, Lindsay goes to work in Jahi. Mostly she goes in company of someone else from the office, but sometimes she goes on her own. Would you want to go there on your own? So obviously, they need our prayers. They need our prayers for their protection. And we should remember to pray for them for that every day. But actually, Paul didn't ask for prayer for protection. That wasn't what he asked for. That wasn't his chief reason. In Ephesians 6 and 19, this is what he said. He said, pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. Paul said, I want you to pray for me that when I get the opportunity, I will speak. See, our sister and brother face exactly the same opportunities we do every day. They go to the shops. They go to the office. They help people because both of their jobs have got to do with dealing with people and helping them. They go to church on a Sunday and they'll take Micah to the park and all the rest of it. We do all those things too, but here's the deal. When we are doing those things, when we're in the supermarket, when we're in the office, and when we're in the car, in the park with our children or whatever, and there comes an opportunity to speak to people about Jesus, do we speak? Do we speak? Loads of times we don't. And one of the things Paul says he wanted the church to pray for him for was when he was in the supermarket and when he was in the office and when he was in the park and wherever it was he was, and there was an opportunity to say something for Jesus, will you pray for me? He says that I will have the courage and discernment to know what to say and when to say it. And if that's true for us, it's true for Lindsay and Japheth as well. Because so often when there's an opportunity to speak, we are tempted to be quiet. I was in a shop yesterday, and of course, a conversation with somebody I've got to know who serves in the shop. After he'd finished serving me, he said to me, John, have you got a minute? And it's a Saturday, you know, and I know where this conversation is going to go, and I'm thinking, I don't know if I have a minute or not. I said, but with all the enthusiasm I could muster, I said, yeah, I have, yeah, it's okay. Well, he said, can we have a chat? And I said, yeah, that's okay. And we went outside the shop. And he has started to go to church recently after years of never going to church. And he'd been telling me a bit about it in previous conversations. And he wanted to ask me where he could go. He said he'd been going to a couple of different churches, and he couldn't get the two things he wanted to put together. He could get really great teaching, but the worship was a bit dead. And he could get really great worship, but there wasn't really any teaching, so he hadn't been to Carn Money, obviously. So he doesn't live near here, so he couldn't come here. But he said, John, could you suggest somewhere I could go? Because he said, I want to engage in worship as well as listen to what God has to say to me. And he's not a Christian yet, but he's on a journey in that direction. And so I was able to talk to him about that. And I said, look, I don't really know that area very well. I'm going to go away and find out this week. When I come back next Saturday, I'll tell you where you could possibly think about going. See, I could so easily have said, look, I'm sorry, I'm really rushed. I need to get back home, and I've got this to do and that to do, and not speak. Paul says, would you pray for me? Would you pray for me that when those conversations crop up, that I have the courage to speak and I know what it is God wants me to say? And so if we need to pray that for Paul, don't you think we need to pray that for Lindsay and for Japheth? And here's how you might remember to do it. When you're praying for these things for yourself, you've just come home from work, and that day there was the glorious opportunity to have a conversation, and you didn't have it, and you're telling God about it, and you're saying, Lord, I'm really sorry. I know you opened the door for me, and I'm so sorry. Please give me courage and discernment tomorrow if the situation arises to say what I should have said. When you're making that prayer, pray for Lindsay and Japheth that they won't make the same mistake. Or some of you are going to be Alpha small group leaders in our Alpha course in a few weeks' time in Belfast. Well, Lindsay and Japheth get involved at times in a Christianity Explored course that their church runs. Okay, so when you're praying for yourself as an Alpha small group leader, could you remember to pray for Lindsay and Japheth in their Christianity Explored course in Abuja? Or some of you are members of the worship team here up front stage, up there at the back behind the scenes, okay? And you pray about yourself that God would help you to lead worship in such a way that would help other people meet with God and get to know God. Lindsay and Japheth are involved in the worship team in their church. It's a choir, but it's not what you think of when you think of a choir. This is a big African choir. This is a real choir, okay? They just don't sing. They dance and do all sorts of other things as well. Lindsay's the only white person in the choir. Can you imagine that? Anyway, they help to lead worship in their church. So maybe you're involved in the worship team here. You pray for yourself. When you're praying for yourself, pray for Lindsay and Japheth because they're involved in leading worship in Abuja. Or when you feel in the supermarket to say what you should have said, pray that Lindsay and Japheth won't. We need to pray. Lastly, we need to bless. When Lindsay and Japheth returned to Nigeria, as you've heard them say, they returned to work there, Japheth to his work in speech and language therapy. And basically, he does that, as he told you earlier. He has these skills, and basically, he works for different people. It could be a school, it could be a charity, it could be a family who pay him for his work. So essentially, he's in the same position as most skilled tradespeople would be in this country. Most skilled tradespeople are self-employed. And you go around looking for work in the building trade or whatever it is, and that's how you do it. And you know the pressures and tensions of that. Well, that's Japheth's life. So when you're thinking about your employment situation, it's just the same as his. Okay, some of you may have got on in life now and call yourself by a fancy title of consultant, but that's kind of the same thing, all right? So if you're in that position and you're praying about your own circumstances, maybe you could remember to pray for Japheth, because that's what he's going back to now when he returns. Lindsay, as you know, works for Mission Africa, helping them reach the people of Nigeria. And in Carn Money, over the years since Lindsay was called by God, it has been our aim to treat Lindsay as if she was a member of our own staff. She doesn't work on this campus or in this site, but she works for Carn Money in another continent. And so because the Mission Africa, like every other Christian mission, is a faith mission, that they need to raise the funds so that they can employ people to work for Jesus Christ in other countries. So when Lindsay was going out, we said to her, look, whatever the commitment is that the Missionary Association has in respect of you, we will meet that commitment. And when Lindsay now goes back, that will be in the region of £11,500 to £12,000 a year. And we have agreed to meet that commitment because we feel that that takes the tension away from this young couple and allows them to get on with their work and serving God. And so we treat them like as if they were working for us. They're members of our staff. Now, you can help us to do that. You can help us to do that in several ways. Some people in church have taken outstanding orders and they pay directly to Mission Africa every month towards Lindsay's support. If you do that or you're thinking of doing that, would you let us know that you're doing it so that we can deduct that from our commitment that we have to meet? The other way in which you can do it is if you're an envelope giver, in your pack of envelopes, you have a United Appeal and Missions envelope. It's the purple one. You've only got 12 in the pack. There's one for each month. And the money that goes into United Appeal and Missions goes to support the Presbyterian mission throughout the world, which is our target on the United Appeal, and also our support for Lindsay. So if you want to increase your support for Lindsay, put more money in that envelope. That's how you do it. And we have agreed as a church that our first commitment is to meet our commitment to Lindsay, and that our second commitment is to everything else. So if you want to support her and help us to support her and bless her in this way and her husband, then that's the way you can do it. But there are a few other things Paul says apart from money. Some other things he asks the church to do for him. One of the things he says is, would you just remember to support me? Right into the Philippians, he says this, it was good of you to share in my troubles. Paul was always in trouble. He was in prison. He was shipwrecked. He was getting beaten by the authorities and so on. And you know, it would have been really easy to say, like people say, you know, oh, there's no smoke without fire. Paul's in trouble. I doubt he's a bit of a troublemaker. The people in Philippi didn't believe a word of it. They knew who Paul was, and they shared in his troubles. They still respected him and honored him and regarded him, no matter what it was that happened to him, because they knew he was God's servant, and they were with him 100% of the way. We need to be with Japheth and Lindsay, supporting them in the work that they're in. We need to offer them support. Another thing Paul said was this. He said, I want you to welcome me. Writes to Philemon, one of his friends. And one more thing, he says, prepare a guest room for me because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. Lindsay and Japheth are going away now for 3 years. That's the term with Mission Africa. I'm not sure if we'll see them before the end of that term, but we definitely will see them at the end of that term when there's a period of 6 months that Lindsay gets off, which missionary associations never call holidays. They call them furlough. I'm not quite sure why, but anyway, they do. So that could be 3 years away. But when she comes back, this is something we can prepare for now. Paul says, prepare a guest room for me. When Japheth and Lindsay come back, maybe you could plan next time round to have them for lunch some Sunday or during the week, or to meet up with them and maybe go out together some evening so you can get to know them a bit better. Paul says, when I get the chance to come back to you, will you give me a warm welcome? We can remember that for Japheth and Lindsay. And lastly, he says this, writing to young Timothy, he says, do your best to come to me quickly. Paul says you could come and visit me. I can't believe I'm saying these words, because I don't do Africa, right? Right? Food, cockroaches, all sorts of other things I could think of. And yet, the reality is that Paul says, if you really want to support me, guys, you'll want to show up and see me sometimes. And we could do that, couldn't we? We could do that. Sometime in the next 3 years, we could plan for some of us to go out, visit Japheth and Lindsay and see what it's really like to live in Abuja in Nigeria. And then we could come back and tell everybody else about it. Wouldn't that be great? No, it wouldn't. But anyway, it might be something the Lord is calling us to do, okay? And we need to think about this because Paul says, do your best to come to me quickly. We need to bless our friends. That's only some of the ways in which we can do it. But that's what God calls us to do, to bless them and to be there for them. Japheth and Lindsay, it's a privilege for us to have you as part of our fellowship, to get the chance to find out a little bit about what God is doing in Africa as a result. We hope by the time you come back here, we'll have 4,000 at each of our services, and then we'll be able to, you know, swap stories about stuff like that. We hope that you have a really good time when you go out again, and that God continues to use you and bless you as he has been doing. That young Micah, next time we see him, will be well, he'll be well on his feet and well underway. May God bless you and keep you during that time. And may God help us as a church family to do these things, to remember you, pray for you, and bless you in your work. We're going to bring our offering to God now, and the band are going to come and sing while we do so. So let's worship God in our offering.